Let's welcome Amanda Muggs, our District 42 State Senator down in Lincoln, Mike Jacobson. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, really good, Corey. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, hated to see the Husker season come to an end the other night, and I would have rather had them lose to any other team in the country besides Iowa. Somebody's going to end your season. You don't want Iowa to be doing it, but I guess, yeah.
I think a lot of people feel that way, that they'd almost would have lost or preferred losing to Vandy than lose to Iowa. But there is a silver lining. Iowa got beat in the next round. So
that's right. That was the good part, I guess. Bittersweet to a point. Softball teams took 2 out of 3 from UCLA. That's a feather in their cap. They got things going well. And our baseball team's doing good, too. Swept Indiana, so.
They did. I have to say that our women's sports in Nebraska has been great. Mm-hmm. And now the men's sports is starting to catch up. And I look at our baseball team and the significant improvement by them. Basketball, I mean, where do you begin to say that it was just an amazing season for basketball and for Coach Hoiberg. And I think that there were people getting frustrated that he wasn't, getting the team where they wanted it to be. But right. Yet, I would say that the fan turnout and support was phenomenal. And I think that really makes a difference with Coach Hoiberg in that it's why you stay at Nebraska, because if you give fans something to cheer about, they will show up, and they'll show up even if you got a mediocre team.
All right, let's talk legislature, and a lot happened last week. You were in session 4 days last week, took Friday off, and back at it today. But just glancing at the update online, you tackled a lot of business, and that's you only got 9 days left. Counting today in the session, so I mean things are going to be happening rapid fire here the last 2 weeks for you.
Well, I did get an email or a text this morning from a friend of mine who said, "Well, hey, 16 days left." I'm thinking, "No, don't be saying things like that. That's sacrilegious." So, no, it's not 16 days. It'll be 8 after today.
That's right. So, as far as the budget bills, the main ones that have to be passed to budget to balance the budget here, that's your primary business. They both advanced, looks like, to final reading, but you did have to strike a couple of things out of the 1071 bill there. One of those, the $3.65 million that originally was in there to fund private school scholarships, that had to be taken out to cover the gap year. Until federal version of the program takes effect next January.
Yeah, that's correct. And there were several down here who wanted to fund that gap year, but on the other hand, there were people down here that just it would be over their dead body that they would vote for a budget that had that in it. And it really became a philosophical issue. It could have been $300 and there would have been people voting no on that issue. And so I think that's probably not going to be coming back at all, or won't be coming back at all. The other item that was in there was the child care subsidy. They had reduced the child care subsidy back to the pre-pandemic levels. Mm-hmm. It's still in the budget, but it's being funded at pre-pandemic levels rather than where we got it to after the pandemic. The chambers are in favor of it because they want people back to work, and I would tell you that I understand that, and I've been supportive of that. Mm-hmm. But it's that is likely going to be reintroduced This is, well, I should say this is in LB 304, which is Senator DeBoer's bill.
Mm-hmm.
That bill will likely get heard on the floor, and if that passes, it will be added back into the budget, but it won't be part of the budget bill. My conversations with the Speaker, we talked a lot about strategy to get the budget passed, and I think we agreed that we've got to, we really needed to get to a clean budget, and we didn't want, I think there were a lot of people that looked at the gap year funding for opportunity scholarships and looked at LB 304, and there were several conservatives who wanted the gap year funded. There were several progressives who wanted 304. And so it was going to be a trade-off between the two, and one wasn't going to get done without the other.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, that's kind of what prevailed, although I would tell you that there were a lot of conservatives who also would like to see 304 continue funding at the current level. And so we'll kind of see where that goes. I would anticipate that LB 304 will pass. I do think it has the votes to pass and will get added back to the budget. And there are a few other revenue items that will end up getting in the budget. So, the budget now should see approval on the final reading, which we're having to pass we're having to suspend the rules because we went past day 50
mm-hmm.
without passing a budget. And, that's kind of why the Speaker was very frustrated when we couldn't get the budget to pass. And I just don't think he anticipated quite how people were going to get dug in on those issues. But they definitely had, and we really had no choice but to move forward with what we have now today.
So that's 1071 that advanced to final reading on a vote of 34-7, and then 1072 says lawmakers agreed to return that one from final reading to consider a specific amendment, and it was offered by Senator Clements and adopted 33-0 and removed provisions in the bill that would have eliminated the October 1st sunset date for extended eligibility for the child care subsidy program.
Yeah, the concern there was that got in. See, 1071 is really the mid-biennium budget bill,
mm-hmm.
and 1072 is the fund transfer bill.
Right.
Okay. And they both kind of go together, but the child care subsidy bill was in, our provisions were included in 1071 and 1072.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to get those provisions out of both of those, and because it really was including a policy issue in addition to funding, which typically we don't want to do. So that's why that got pulled out. So 1072 had to go back to select file because you can't amend a bill on final reading. You can send it back to select file
okay.
to be amended and then back to final reading.
Okay. So after you did that and took care of that, 1072 advanced to final reading 34-9. So are those up for final reading this week then?
They will be, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And do you expect 1072 to pass as well?
Oh, absolutely, yes. They have to.
Yeah. It's a state statute. You have to balance the budget. Talk about your egg data privacy bill and an amendment on that, which includes AI protections.
Yeah, the AI protections, don't be confused by that. Senator Bostar brought that bill. He's done a lot of work on AI. There were several AI bills that were introduced. I would tell you that the president is very, and I'm talking about Donald Trump now, has a very, his concern, which I would agree with, is you want to make sure that we don't have 50 state policies on certain AI actions and that are inconsistent with what's happening federally. And so there has been a subtle threat that if you pass AI bills and at the state level that are going to create inconsistencies across the country, you may risk your BEAD funding, which is the broadband funding,
right,
from the federal government, if you pass those bills. And so we've been, the governor's office has been in contact to make certain with the White House spokespeople to make sure that what we're doing is not inconsistent with where the federal government would like to go. Not that they're just letting us know what bills would be problematic, and then we can decide whether we want to move forward or not. I think there were a couple of bills in the Banking, Commerce, and Insurance Committee that would have probably crossed that line. We did not advance those bills. Senator Boestar's bill is a very common sense bill. It's a good bill that puts up some guardrails. It doesn't have anything to do necessarily with ag data privacy, other than the bill was heard in the Banking, Commerce, and Insurance Committee, as was the ag data privacy bill. And so we were able to put the two bills together. And the issue was he had already designated another bill as his priority bill. And so he needed a ride, if you will, for his bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agreed to let him amend it onto my priority bill. So he had a place to, he had a ride. But the bills aren't necessarily two bills that fit together other than they're germane because they both came out of the same committee. So I would tell you there was a little discussion about body of his bill. Otherwise, without that discussion, there would have been virtually none on the ag data privacy bill. I've been very fortunate on the bills that I've moved this year that I think a lot of people have confidence that I wouldn't bring a bad bill. And I think that they knew that we vetted it. They knew that it came out of Committee 8-0 and that we had strong support from Farm Bureau and from Nebraska corn growers. And I appreciated their support and their testimony in the hearings. And I think the body just said they trust Senator Jacobson that he's got a good bill. So I appreciated that. And so it had virtually no debate on general file, which would suggest that it'll sail through select file and final reading. So I see a path forward in getting to the end with those. Our banking priority bills are also moving to final reading. So I guess I could say my work is done here when it comes to the bills that I strongly care about, because they're gonna get done.
So what we've been talking about is LB 525, and it says here in this article, under the bill, starting January 1st of next year, every new contract or agreement involving the collection or processing of agricultural data in Nebraska must include a specific provision that prohibits the selling of that data unless the producer is given express written consent. I think that's about as common sense as you can get, and avoids a lot of litigation that could happen if you don't have that provision.
It does, and I think that what I've heard from producers is we want our data protected. We don't want to go in. Let's take, for example, we have a John Deere combine. We use John Deere software to collect the yield data. we don't want John Deere taking that yield data and selling it, the raw data, to a third party. We don't want a seed company doing it. I have had some people say they were concerned that if you're renting a farm and you have all this yield data collected on the yields that you've achieved on that farm, mm-hmm. they don't want potential people who might want to try to rent the farm away from you to have all of your data to figure out what is the productivity of that farm and mm-hmm. what can that farm do. That's proprietary information that should only be released if you want it released. So it's just common sense safeguards that farmers want. I would also tell you that when it comes to equipment manufacturers, their user agreements also have to conform to this new law. But again, we're not trying to stifle innovation with the bill, but we are wanting to get some pretty general, broad guardrails in place. And then as time goes on, I would expect that we will probably tighten down those rules as we see need for it or we see abuses, then we can always add to the bill. But the goal here was to walk before we run. Let's make this a bill that covers some of the broad issues, and then we'll focus on more narrow issues as time goes on.
Okay. Comment on L87. I see that that Agriculture Committee members voted to move that on 8-0 last week. It has been modified by Senator DeKay, who offered a top-to-bottom rewrite, the brand bill there, and because it didn't have the support before, so he modified that. Can you talk about that, how you feel about that after the modifications?
It's not a bill ready to go just yet. I would tell you that I spent most of the weekend talking brand. I was in contact with the speaker. He had texted me on Friday, wanted me to call him on Saturday to discuss the nuances that were in the bill. He knew that Senator Storr and I have had significant reservations about what the bill did. So I walked him through what our concerns remained, what concerns we had remaining, and that if we want the bill to pass this year, these are the concerns we need fixed. I would tell you that his plan has been to reschedule the bill for this to be heard this week. In fact, he was looking at scheduling it for as early as tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I believe where we left it is I've had conversations with the lobbyists for the other side, and I think that the bill has taken on kind of a life of its own. Senator DeKay chairs the Ag Committee, but you have Ag Committee members who have their own thoughts on what the bill should look like. Then you have feedlot producers who have their views, and then you have cow-calf producers. And so the bill is changing a lot of things. And when you try to make a bill as comprehensive as this one is, finding agreement is hard to do. I think we're going to get there. I believe that we're at a point now to where Senator Storr and I will be meeting with spokespeople for the rest of the from the feedlot industry, mm-hmm. And we should be able to work out a compromise. And a lot of the discussions I've had the last couple of days have been on what compromise, what can we compromise on? What's that language look like? And I talked to Senator Storr again as late as 6 o'clock last night. And I think we're very close to having a bill that we would not be opposed to. Now, not being opposed to the bill and supporting the bill are two different things. But I think that people know that if we decide to filibuster the bill, then the bill's not going to pass this year. And so we need to be comfortable enough that we're not going to filibuster. But whether there's support for the bill remains to be seen. I will, from my standpoint, there's more than likely we'll try to get to a point where I can support the bill, but there's two or three issues that are pretty key. I think at the end of the day, Senator Storr and I have always believed we want to keep the integrity of the brand inspection process, which brand inspection really, when we say brand inspection, it's a generic term for verification of ownership. Mm-hmm. We believe it's important there be verification of ownership and that system have integrity in it, that we don't have breaks in the system where it can be exploited. And some of the carve-outs that were being looked at would have those breaks. And so we wanted to tighten that up. We think that we have conceptually agreed, or at least I have with the lobbyists I met with. Now we need to see the language. It always comes down to that. Yep, this all looks good. And then the language comes out and it's like, well, the language really doesn't say what we agreed to. And so we got to look at that. One of the things that's out there as well is a complete rework of the brand committee. I think that the brand committee is likely going to be expanded, and it will also change the makeup. I think that will be a very important aspect to the changes, and so we're carefully looking at that as well. But I think we can get to a place to where we can pass a bill. There will probably be future changes, but I think we will pass a bill that cow-calf producers can live with and that feedlot operators can live with as well. And I guess that's probably the best you can hope for at this point.
Okay. And then there's the ethanol bill, LB 815. You are a co-sponsor of that, and it says it would add two members to the seven-member board and require three of them to be ethanol producers, and that was advanced last week on a 26-0 vote.
Yes, and that's a good bill, and I think that as we continue to look at the expansion of ethanol production, what's going on right now in the Middle East, and with the oil price spike has certainly been a boost to ethanol and can be a boost to corn prices. As much as the clog in the Strait of Hormuz is impacting fertilizer prices and oil prices, the fertilizer price increases are bad for grain farmers, but having ethanol prices move higher will have an impact, positive impact on corn prices, which we've seen here over the last two or three weeks. And so I'm hoping that can further strengthen. We've gone from $8 a bushel on corn down to almost under $4 a bushel into the upper threes. So if you're raising the same bushels and getting half the price, that makes for a lot of red ink. And so as much as I feel bad for cow-calf producers who have been impacted by fires, they've done very well up until the losses that they're having right now and losing their hay supplies. Grain farmers have really taken it in the chin the last couple of years, and I would say very few are showing positive cash flows for this coming year if we don't see significant increases in price.
That's Senator Mike Jacobson. Anything else you wanted to highlight going down here the final 9 days of the session?
Well, we'll be going late nights every night, and I think that there are a lot of bills that still need to be heard on the floor. The speaker is being very careful about bills that he knows are going to be contentious. That's why we had a lot of discussion this weekend on the brand bill. It's a bill that I think he wants to see get disposed of this year. I think both sides are motivated to make a deal. I think now we just need to get the parties together, and I'd like to think that I'm playing a positive role in trying to get the parties together and make a compromise that everybody can live with. And that's not overly easy to do, but I feel it's part of my role. So okay. It'll be an interesting week.
It will be, for sure. Do they allow you to take snacks on the floor there for these long days?
You know, we have snacks.
That's so good.
And Christina keeps me well-stocked. I never know for sure. I go down, I open up one of my desk drawers, I'm thinking, where did this come from? Well, Christina must have been there, and she restocks my water, restocks... I mean, there's some stuff in there I didn't even know was in there. So, it helps.
Got to have some fuel for sure. If folks want to get a hold of you, they can call the office or send you an email.
Sure. 402-471-2729 and M. Jacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov. Christina's back, and so she'd be very happy to take your call. And so, there's just, we're on the downhill slide this week and next week. And then, we'll have a week off and come back to take care of any veto overrides. It is winding down, the session is.
It surely is. Senator Mike Jacobson, we appreciate you very much, sir. Continue to fight the good fight, and we'll chat again a week from today.
All right. Thanks a lot, Corey.
Take care.